Good morning, Stephen. It seems like it is one of those things we thought maybe with all of everything with COVID that has been a negative. The one thing, it gave you the North Division and it might give you the Leafs and Habs playoff series, but we can't have nice things apparently. And now I kind of have to, the Jets are going to have to get their show figured out here, or they're going to get passed by the Habs and it'll be Leafs-Jets round one.
Yeah, which isn't quite, doesn't have quite the impact, does it? It doesn't seem quite as, well, now the Leafs, I think, play the Habs, what, three more times, I think, before this? I've kind of lost track of the schedule, to be honest, because I know it kind of tails out at the end here. But the Leafs could have an impact on this if they beat the Habs in those games and the Jets can keep their noses above water. I guess it's still possible. But the last time this almost happened, the last time the Leafs and the Habs almost played in the playoffs was in much different circumstances back in 1993. That would have been really great, because that would have been in the final. Would have had all kinds of kind of historic juice to it. But you know, this isn't. I don't know. Does it matter? I think these first, you know, the first two rounds are going to be interesting. The All-Canadian first two rounds, and then we're going to see what it looks like when they have to play somebody else. Like,
oh, come on! This is a great
the
rivalry.
Mystery of the other divisions. It is a great. Well, it's, well,
why don't
it's
you
want to
see
rivalry,
it?
Except they, you know what? It's a great theoretical rivalry. You know, it hasn't been a real rivalry in forever. And you know, if you talk to a Montreal Canadiens fan, it's not about the Leafs. Like, it's Boston. You know, if they have a rival, that's probably Boston
Same
these
with Toronto.
Days. And for you know, yeah. And I don't know who Toronto. Like, Toronto and Ottawa was kind of hot for a while back in the day. You know,
Boston
Battle
for sure.
Ontario thing. Boston, big Boston, because Boston just beats them. You know, in the playoffs, but. You got to be old to remember Toronto Montreal. I know people can read the history books and all, but for that to have been a real thing, like, how far back are we going? 60s? You know, really? You know, not really the 70s, right?
Just,
the Habs are
I
great
don't know
in the
what
70s.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. The fans, the juice, this is what we're talking about. Come on. I do.
Like in 93, I really did want it, actually.
Now, Stephen, I'll throw you the alternative. You want to talk about the season and you've lost track of how things are going down the stretch.
Yes.
The Flames in the month of May, 6 games in 19 days. There are 3-day breaks, and the final 4 are against the Vancouver Canucks, as both are well back of a playoff. So if you want to talk about, you know, sputtering to the finish. Come on down. If you
think their hearts might not be quite in it for that, those last 4, like,
yeah,
with, you know, summer kind of beyond and whatever, well, we can't do anything, but if you could do stuff, they would, you know.
Well, like, and you'd be able to illustrate it, because everybody's saying, well, why don't they just cancel the games? Well, you have lottery implications, draft implications,
yes,
and TV money. You have sponsors that have paid dough that need their product. It's not about, I read somebody yesterday was saying, well, who's watching? The ratings are going to be terrible. It has nothing to do with it. You have to play
That's
these,
true.
You got to play these games.
And Lord knows we all understand that TV money matters. So what could I possibly have been thinking?
Yeah.
It's, yes, that we need that content to get the ads apart.
Thank you.
So there we go. It's content. So yes, it'll be, and it'll have, as you said, draft and lottery implications, and I'm sure players auditioning for next season, and everybody should.
That's a voice. Sell it, Steve. Come on.
We
Bring
are.
It home. Bring yeah. it home. Attaboy. Yeah.
Yeah. Or they could just decide to say, you know, you win two, we'll win two, and let's just go.
Which
it.
Is what'll happen anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is what'll happen anyway. There's no Hart trophies or Art Ross or scoring titles to be won in either of these towns. But yeah.
No.
Well, you take two, we take two. What do you think? Skip the yeah. trip? All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Sad way to end it, man. I'll be honest. I don't really have a rooting interest, but I want Habs Leafs. I just do. I think it'd be.
Yeah.
It'd be tremendous.
Well, in Winnipeg, like right now, like Leafs Winnipeg, I'd like to think that could be a fun series, but they're not competitive right now. And I think, you know, I think the questions people have about the Jets, you know, are legit. And unless Hellebuck's great, I don't think they've got a chance against the Leafs. Famous last words. but I don't, you know, and he's been all over the place lately. So I think Leafs Habs is a competitive series. You know, I think just because of the way the Habs are built, you know, you went, like that game last night was, you know, it was fun, but you know, again, you got the sense that there weren't crazy high stakes for the Leafs in that game. And you know, they had a 2-on-0 breakaway in overtime that they couldn't convert with, you know, Marner and Matthews. Otherwise, they would have won it in overtime. But I think that's a competitive series, though, and that's a competitive playoff series.
It would be crazy to think that you would go into a series with Jack Campbell or David Riddick and feel like maybe you've got the advantage in net over the Vezina Trophy winner from a year ago.
But you could today, yeah. You know, well, Campbell is playing well again, but you know, who knows how long that's going to last. And they will try and get Freddie Anderson back in there. But yeah, you're right. That would not, if you'd asked me about that a couple of months ago, I would have suggested that the Leafs did not have a goaltending advantage over Connor Hellebuyck. But
we may revisit this, Steve.
He looks messed up.
Let's just
put
a pin in it, because when round one gets started, I wonder if we might be having that goaltending conversation in Toronto at some point.
Well, if Hellebuyck plays out of his mind, you know, they can beat anybody. But yeah, and that could happen, right? So, but right now, that doesn't look like a competitive series. Mm-hmm.
I love the notes when you send them. They're brief, but there's always a little nugget in there. And we don't even need to talk about it, because I think some people are a little fatigued when we talk about the CFL because there's just nothing going on.
Yes. Here's
the Stephen Brunt note. CFL draft tonight. Is it the last one? It's very morbid.
Jeez.
But I guess that's a potential, right?
Sure it is. Sure it is. Well, look, who knows, right, what's going to happen, when they're going to play, if they're going to play, you know. But if they play this year, they will play under the existing rules with the existing quotas for nationals, you know, what we used to call Canadians, nationals. And so you would have to draft those guys and sign those guys and play X number of them, have an X number of them on your roster. But if the league proceeds down the path towards some kind of merger or joint venture or whatever it's going to be called with the XFL next spring, and which is still very much a live issue as we speak. It is, you know, nobody on the CFL side is shying away from this at all. They will not, you know, they may have a token number of Canadians on rosters for Canadian teams just to be able to say it. But you know, you're talking about a handful. And I guess maybe you would still have a draft to disperse those guys if the Canadian teams are part of a larger North American league. But yeah, a draft like this one, where, you know, Canadian talent is important on CFL rosters, not so much in terms of the number of guys that start, because it's a relatively small number, but you know, you have to have a bunch of guys to play special teams, and you know, you do have to have them in uniform. You know, it matters. It matters in building a strong, and the guys who can play end up playing forever. You know, like the flip side of that is very few Canadians actually crack rosters on a year-to-year basis, because the guys who are established play forever. But yeah, if it becomes whatever we're going to call this CFL XFL thing next spring, and again, if I were a betting man, that is a reasonable wager right at this moment. I'm not sure that those who, you know, those CFL draftniks who are out there, you know, that's those people who are talking about Canadians in NCAA programs and Canadians in the CIS who didn't play at all last year. So, you know, it's pretty, you've got to kind of know the territory pretty well to even discuss it. We'll, at very least be talking about something that is less significant, much smaller, you know, and maybe heading down the path of the dodo. And again, I'm not trying to be alarmist here. I'm not being anti-CFL. I love the CFL. I live in Hamilton. I love the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and I grew up with them. I have to put those disclaimers in every time I say this stuff, but I'm just telling you what I'm hearing.
We can move on, because we've played this clip a couple of times already early this week. This was Charlie Montoyo on the weekend talking about why Springer wasn't playing.
He was fatigued because, of course, he was hot today.
He was very hot, and he was fatigued, and he had to come out of the game, and then yesterday was not an option.
Now, he'd been DHing a lot. He was exhausted.
Yeah, he's very tired for a guy that has played very little baseball to this point. It's not even the level of concern, but what's your take on what you're seeing right now? Is it just very, very cautious steps with this guy?
Yeah, well, because that guy, you know, hit a 471-foot home run. So, you know, I wish, you know, like, so, yeah, he can still hit. They didn't play him. He didn't DH last night in Oakland, obviously. We'll see tonight. They have not put him on the IL, so they have not taken him off the roster, because that would mean a minimum of 10 days. And they clearly are hesitant to do that, although, you know, you can backdate it and all that stuff, so they can do a bit of a wait and see. But, yeah, I think they're being super careful with the most expensive player in Blue Jays history. I think that makes some sense. You know, we're 1 month into the season, and they have been playing well, and they would love to have him in the lineup, but you don't want to do anything panicky. And stuff like a quad pull, a hamstring pull, it is the kind of thing you could make it worse. So I'm sure he wants to play. I'm sure he absolutely wants to play. The fatigue thing, I don't know why that's the way they chose to explain it. I have no idea. Charlie's not a Charlie's a pretty honest guy. So, you know, that's, I assume somebody said, Charlie, this is, you know, we're going to say it's fatigue. That's the official medical explanation for the organization. You know, like, you're not fooling anybody. Like, you know, it's not like the hockey upper body injury, lower body injury stuff where you're trying to hide something. You know, no one's going to hit him. So, I think that he's sore. And then they had a long flight going into Oakland. He was sore coming off that other game. I think they figured, let's give him another day or two and see how he feels. And I'm guessing it's going to be like that for a while. You know, you hope it's not like that for half a season. But it's, you know, it does happen if you think of those kind of injuries. That, you know, for a guy to be, and, you know, to turn him loose in the outfield and let him roam around center field. Now, of course, again, the luxury they have right now is they haven't needed to do that. You know, Randall Grichuk's playing really well. He's a competent center fielder. This team has started to, you know, it's become better offensively. Now, it's a lot better with him at the top of the lineup, but, you know, they're a 500 team right now. They're kind of, I say, holding their own. You got to take the long view in terms of this season. You got to take the long view in general. But it's frustrating, right? Because just for a moment on the weekend, when you had that lineup intact, that's a tremendous lineup, you know, that offensively.
Runs?
And I'm including Alejandro Kirk, who's, you know, going to be out for a while, hitting a couple of home runs over the weekend. Like, that is a long, difficult lineup to pitch against. And it's not going to be when you're slotting in the Joe Panics and the struggling Danny Jansons, it's not as good. So it was like this little glimpse of what this could be, and then, you know, got yanked away almost instantly. So I don't know. You know, I'm not sure when we're going to see that lineup again.
I don't know if you saw it. It's kind of somehow popped into my news feed late last night, but Rob Manfred floated an expansion fee for the Major League Baseball, what it might look like. $2.2 billion, I did the conversion, 2.7 Canadian. You have long kept the dream of baseball in Montreal alive. At what price do these wealthy, bottomless pocketed people say no to buying into a franchise and then also having to build a stadium?
Well, I don't think that's, you know, it's always with the Montreal guys, it's always been about this Tampa deal. Like it has been for a long time, the split home for the Tampa Rays. And I think that's a different proposition than going out. They're still going to have to build a stadium, but that is a different proposition than going out and buying an expansion team. And again, baseball is, say, you know, Manfred floated that, but there's no real sense that they're anxious to expand. Now, if you can get that money and I'm an owner and you don't have to share it with the players, I would get more excited about expansion, just like the NHL did, right? It's found money for owners. They love it. And but look, nothing's going to happen until after there's a new collective agreement.
Right.
You know? So, and I'm not sure how we're going to get to that. I hope it's, you know, without a shutdown. But what are the rules of business? What are the rules of engagement? And once you get past that, you know, I guess Nashville's the one thing that's been kicked around. But, you know, David Dombrowski was part of that group in Nashville, and he left to take a job, which told me that, you know, he was going to get equity in the team and all kinds of stuff. So that told me that was not on the front, or he didn't believe that was on the front burner. So, but yeah, in terms of the Montreal guys, my last conversation with them, well, at least with the one of them that I know, was that they were still feeling very positive. But, you know, things like stadium projects now, again, coming, the other thing is coming out of the pandemic. Is there going to be an appetite for big projects with some public funding in them, kind of big infrastructure projects to kind of crank the economy?
Certain parts of the country, that's easier to get done, it seems.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, because at the same time, we've also had Vancouver Whistler jump out and say, you know, John Furlong pitching the 2030 Olympic Games. There's a Commonwealth Games plan here in Hamilton for 2030 as well. So I think there must be, some people must be picking up something in the wind here that there may be, you know, there may be a willingness to spend money to crank the economy. So, but, you know, we're saying when we, you know, whatever, when will that date be when we are out of the pandemic and it's all about look aheads? I'm not entirely sure I'm comfortable projecting that.
So they like Nashville. I've heard Austin and Portland floated. Anything else that would make sense?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's always the kind of, you know, Mexico City always gets floated out there, that has in the past. You know, although Mexico City is not, you know, that part of Mexico is not the hotbed of baseball in Mexico. It's in northern Mexico is far more a part of the baseball country in Mexico. So, yeah, I'm not sure any of those. You know, Portland's been kicked around, you know, for a lot of different kinds of things. But, you know, I'm not sure that market, obviously it's a great NBA market and it's a great soccer market. Decent junior hockey market. I'm not sure. You know, baseball is a very specific, you know, play these days. The 162 games, you know, a lot of inventory, a lot of ticket inventory. You know, can you sell enough tickets for enough games? You know, will your market support that? And you know, baseball is not, it's very much a regional, local proposition right now. Like, the Toronto Blue Jays, if they ever come home, you know, play in one of the best baseball markets in North America. You know, not just, you know, Toronto, but they have a national fan base. They play to 30-plus million people. But if you look at, you know, outside of the Yankees and the Dodgers, the Cubs, I guess, you know, otherwise it's very local and regional in the States. And I'm not sure at that price. Like, I wouldn't put my own money into selling baseball in Nashville at that price. Like, not that anyone's going to ask me, but that would seem very, very risky to me.
What are you going to do with your $2.2
billion? It's in a savings account. It's getting 3% right now. Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
You're not in crypto, eh?
No, I'm thinking about it. I did try and explain crypto to myself once again the other day. I did try and understand what blockchains were, but it's not so well, actually. I'm still, I think maybe there's a point where your brain just can't, you get to a point where you just cannot understand things anymore. I was trying to be like Bitcoin mining. Do you understand how you mine for Bitcoins?
You just use energy, lots of power and run algorithms. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know what that means.
It requires a lot of power. Yeah. But I read it over and over again, and I still don't know.
You don't want the servers getting too hot either, Stephen.
You don't want the servers getting, you'll need a lot of fans, right? Oh, you need fans.
Things cooled off, burning out. What about an island?
Maybe it's not for me.
Could you buy an island for us with that?
Fishing island.
Too?
Yeah.
A fishing island would be good. Yeah. No, I would take it out of the savings account to buy a fishing island. That is exactly what I would do.
I will be coming to visit you then.
Yeah, you can visit. Yeah. Walk the flats with me.
A buddy of mine texted me from Ontario this morning that apparently walleye opens this weekend out in Ontario.
Oh, is that right? I'm not a walleye guy. I have caught them just to eat them. It's kind of a meat fishery in my mind, but they're very good to eat. They're excellent to eat,
delicious.
But they're not. Yeah. But yeah,
they don't get that big. Even at like a huge one isn't that big in terms of, you know, fish. I guess that you would, if you go salmon fishing, it'd be a very small salmon. But
yeah,
they're good eating.
They're good eating. They kind of, you know, they're not great the greatest fighting fish in the world or anything like that, but they are they're very tasty. I would put them very high on the list of eating fish. So yes, that would be the one thing that would draw me out for walleye. But that instead, I have another day today actually of once I'm finished with you guys, and not that I'm in a hurry or anything, but I will be returning to the river.
Oh man,
really?
Yes, sir.
How's the success? Sir. How's this level of? You said last week you were catching fish already.
Are you allowed?
It's been good. It's been good. Well, yes, we are. Well, okay. We're sort of. Well, that's a good question, Rhett. That is and it's a little strangely enough, because everything else has been so clear, it's a little unclear whether you're allowed to stand by yourself on a river and fish. Like golf is banned here. I don't know if you know this, guys, but you can't golf. You can't shoot hoops. They put boards over the basketball nets. You cannot play tennis or pickleball. I've never played pickleball, but I understand it's
delicious.
A fine time, yeah.
Tons of fun.
But there's been no specific angling prohibition that I know of. Ignorance is bliss.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that.
All right, Steve, get your waders on or whatever you need and get out there.
That's it. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Very nice. Send us a photo. We need a photo of you, a quick selfie of you ready for the river.
I think that may be incriminating. That's the one
thing.
Oh,
really?
Okay. Your boots.
Oh, we're out of time. Look, we're right out of time. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thanks, Steve. Always good, buddy. Have a good week.
See you guys.